Thank you for tuning in to our podcast recorded live each week. Now sit back and enjoy the award-winning Tony Sanders Outdoor Show.
Tighten your life vest, strap into your tree stand, and get ready for the award-winning Tony Sanders Outdoors, your source for outdoor information, education, and entertainment. Now, here are your hosts, Tony Sanders and Rob Pratula.
Good morning. Oh, Trap Professor.
Good morning, Tony Sanders.
Are we having fun yet?
We are.
It's December.
It is.
Believe it or not.
It's the holiday season.
The weather is cooling. The deer are running rampant.
The cranes are flying.
The cranes are flying. Oh, I'm so excited about that.
The fish are biting.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it is a perfect time to be an outdoors person in the Southeast.
I agree with that. I didn't put the story in the show prep, but there was a guy who was a little bit too excited to go ice fishing up in Minnesota.
Went out too soon?
A bit. Had to be rescued. That was pretty much the whole story. That's why I didn't put it in there. But
did his truck go sinking?
No, he didn't. He walked out on the ice.
Oh, smart.
Yeah. I thought it would have been better with a truck, but hey, would have been a lot. It would have ended up in show prep if it was a truck, because that would have been funny right there.
That is one of my bucket list items. I want to go ice fishing. Like, drive your truck out, build the cabin, build the fire, mm-hmm. drill the hole.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do that.
I wouldn't mind doing that. I've been ice fishing once, and the one time I caught ice fishing, one time I went out ice fishing.
You caught ice?
The only thing I caught was 20 pounds of ice, brought it home, cooked it up, and almost drowned.
Man, it started early, Gene. Gene's in there even laughing at that one.
Yeah.
No, I do. I want to go real live ice fishing. Not what we do around here where you stomp on it and...
It breaks.
It breaks and you...
The only ice fishing we really do around here is trying to get it out of our guides when it gets cold enough in the morning, and then by mid-afternoon it's warm enough, you don't have to worry about it.
I thought that was when you're trying to get a piece of ice out of your drink or something.
Oh, it could be either that, one of the two. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing some ice fishing.
I think that'd be fun. I just real live, drill the hole fishing.
I think that would be an interesting... I don't know that it's on my bucket list, but I would not mind doing it. I would enjoy having the experience.
Well, here's the part I don't know. And I simply just don't know. Do they know where they're drilling the hole? I mean, is, you know, when you go
yeah,
out...
in well, the ice.
Well, yeah, okay. But when you go out fishing, right, you have all these high-end electronics that tell you where the channels are, the drops are, the structure is. You got all that, right?
Right.
Do they do that? Do they know that when they drill the hole? Because to go out and just drill a hole in the middle of nothing means you're just happenstance if you catch fish.
I have two thoughts on that. Number one, they have these portable sonar units that they'll drill a hole and they'll put it down and scan and see, oh, we're not in the channel. We need to move more to the east, the west, the north, wherever it is. The other theory I have is that they really don't care. You've got a heated shack with food, a heater, a Lazy Boy.
Probably some adult beverages.
A lot of adult beverages to keep you warm, which really don't, but not the point. You're sitting in a Lazy Boy with your arm over the side, just kind of up and down jigging. I don't really know that it's fishing. I think it's more like, and I'm not trying to be rude to any dove hunters here in the South, dove hunting, the first day of dove season is not really dove hunting. It's more the social aspect. It's seeing people. You may pull the trigger a couple times.
First time out in the woods.
But yeah, first time out in the woods, you're like, eh. But it's more of a social event. I mean, you know, the local sheriff has a dove hunt, and if you get invited to the sheriff's dove hunt, you've reached this echelon of your social life. Now, if you get invited to the state representative's hunt, and it's really not about the hunting, it's shaking hands, it's eating barbecue, it's more of a party first and hunting. I think ice fishing is more party/fishing. I may be wrong, but from what I've seen...
It's kind of like bowling then, right?
Yeah.
It's not about the bowling. It's about the...
I think it's more about getting away and watching what you want on TV for a change. I mean, at least that's the way it is at my house. But, you know, it'd be if I had my own little shack, I'd have a TV in there, a heater, a Lazy Boy, If I caught a fish, great. If I didn't, didn't catch anything, but got to watch what I wanted to watch.
Well, I've seen some of those, and they literally have the portable satellite unit.
Yeah.
They're out there watching the football game on Sunday while they're catching fish, so.
Or not catching fish. I mean, they may drill a hole. They may know where exactly where they're drilling. They may not want to be disturbed.
I mean, you can always not put bait on your hook.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Or not even put a hook.
But, hey, if you're not going to go that far, why even drill a hole? Just go sit in your shack. I mean, man, it's like a man shack.
There was, I was watching something, I don't know, one day last year. And they were showing some ice fishing going on up in Minnesota or wherever. And, I mean, there was literally 25 or 30 shacks in this one area. And I'm looking at all the trucks sitting there, and I'm thinking, I mean, there's a lot of weight in that very relatively small area.
You'd be surprised how thick. I mean, it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the ice, they've got these, you know, you go up to the Great Lakes, they've got these icebreaker ships that have, like, triple steel reinforced hulls that, you know, try and break through all this ice, and sometimes those things get stuck, and those weigh, you know, a couple hundred thousand tons, and they can't break the ice to help with shipping, you know. I think you'd be okay.
Okay.
But, yeah, this guy went out a little bit too early. I mean, the only reason I did not put in show prep is he fell in. It would have made show prep if him, his shack, and his truck fell in. So
gotcha.
There's a level of, you know, this guy was just, you know, hey, let's go ice fishing. Whoops. So.
How would you like to be the first person to go out on the water? I mean, I know if you're up there, you know what you're doing.
Apparently not in some cases.
At least not this guy. Most people know what they're doing. But yeah, you want to be the first person to drive out on that ice?
I'll pass on that one. I'll let somebody else go.
All right. Well, we can back away from the ice fishing because we're not going to be doing that anytime soon. So it's going to be nearly 60 degrees today here in the lovely southeast.
Mm-hmm.
But we can talk a little more about what's going on around us in the southeastern corner of Tennessee, northwest Georgia.
Don't forget our friends down in Alabama.
Northeast Alabama. I'm trying to think what other states nearby. That's it.
I don't think they can cure us in South Carolina.
They can on the radio apps.
And on podcast.
And podcasting. So yes, you can hear us in South Carolina and any of the other 46 states that we haven't named yet. No, I named Minnesota, 45.
Yeah, we had Minnesota. Yep, 45, we're done. And you've called in from where?
Oh, gosh. Several places. South Dakota. Illinois. Iowa. Florida.
Hmm. I've called in from my home state of Massachusetts. So.
Yeah. I've said it so much, Gene, he's starting to believe he's from Massachusetts. That's too funny. All right, a lot happening in the area. Good Lord, a lot of stuff going on, including, and this has got to be something that makes you really excited, a new fish.
Yes, a new species was discovered, and I hope you ask me the questions I think you're going to ask me to test me.
Okay.
A new species. Okay. A new species has been discovered here in Tennessee. It was discovered by a Yale professor, a Yale biologist, and it is called the Tennessee.
Whoa. Not just a Yankee professor. Get the other guy in there, too.
And a TBA biologist.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The Yale professor wrote the paper and gave credit to everybody. So, anyway, the Tennessee log perch, and it is a darter. It'll grow to be about 6 inches long. And it is the newest species to be discovered, and they named it the Tennessee log perch. And it's a very colorful little darter, and it is found in the Elk River system and the Duck River system.
So now, is that darter as in snail darter that shut down, you know, TVA and the Tellico Dam all those years ago?
Similar.
And the snail darter is a little bit smaller than it.
It is. The snail darter is a little bit smaller, and it has a little bit different body structure than the log perch. The log perch are a species, and to answer your question, there are 11 in the United States, which was you were going to ask me how many there are everywhere. They're primarily found in the Southeast, and there are now there are now 12 species.
The log perch?
The log perch as a family.
And so we have our very own log perch, the Tennessee log perch.
Correct.
Now,
go ahead.
What makes it any different than any of the other 11 log perches?
It is a
other than it was found in Tennessee.
It is a brand new species that had been undocumented up to now. This one was normally misidentified as I'm trying to remember the blotchside log perch. Everybody would see this and say, "Oh, that's a blotchside log perch," but it's not. The blotchside log perch has vertical stripes, and the Tennessee log perch has more circular vertical stripes, but they're not actual stripes, they're more like ovals. And they did DNA analysis, and it turns out this is a different species than the blotchside log perch. So this is the newest discovery in our waterway. Now, the other question you're going to ask me, how many species of fish are there in Tennessee? There are over 316, including the log perch, 280 of which are native to Tennessee.
So is the log perch, the Tennessee log perch, native to Tennessee?
It is.
Or is it only native to Tennessee because that's where it was found?
No, it is only native to Tennessee, and this is the only documented case of this. So it's kind of like our snail darter in that it is a Tennessee-only fish unique to this area.
How'd they find it?
Were
they throwing a fly rod?
No, actually they were snorkeling and using nets, and little darters kind of sit on the bottom, and they literally
they dart.
Exactly, you got it. They dart around, and you net them, and you bring them up, and you look at them and say, okay, this is a there's a rainbow darter, which is a gorgeous fish. And if you haven't been to the Tennessee Aquarium, please go to the aquarium. They've got a great exhibit on fish of Tennessee and smaller fish that people normally don't see, because all you see is a little flash of something. Well, maybe a rainbow shiner, a rainbow darter, maybe a war paint shiner, it may be a tangerine darter, something along those lines. These are the little fish that you normally, you know, you see something move and you think, what was that?
Oh. Have they got a Tennessee log perch in there?
I don't think they do, but hopefully they will have one in the near future.
So is the one in the picture dead now?
No, it was caught and released. Well, I don't know.
That
may be the one they sampled or DNA harvested or whatever the case may be, but it's actually very, very pretty fish, kind of green and yellow with an orange dorsal fin.
As a fisherman,
mm-hmm.
Does that excite you?
Yes. Knowing that there are that many species in Tennessee shows the hard work of the TWRA and TVA and other conservation groups to keep our water clean, to have these smaller species that are really indicator species of the health of our waters. And we have some really great, clean, clear water here, and we've got an abundant fish species to go with.
Okay.
I was waiting for you to. You were going to ask how many log perch species are there. I went ahead and looked it up.
I appreciate it. All right, we'll be right back as Rob anticipates my next question.
Never worry about the price of gas. I've been wheeling and dealing and sitting there reeling them in. Hunting, fishing, loving every day. That's the bread that a country boy brings. Thank God.
Are you a member of the National Rifle Association? If not, why? No other organization in this country fights for your rights like the NRA. In the current environment, our rights under the Second Amendment are being attacked every day. While we in the South may feel comfortable, that is not the case all across America. The NRA is taking up the fight for you, and you need to be a part. Join the over 5 million men, women, and children who are members of the NRA. Go to TonySandersOutdoors.com and click on the Join NRA link. Don't wait too late. I've been telling you for years to go see my friend and insurance agent, Rodney Allen, for your insurance needs. Rodney has been handling my family insurance requirements for 15 years. He can also handle other aspects of your financial life as well. Do you need a mortgage, car loan, financial accounts, whatever you need. All this can be set up with Rodney with State Farm Insurance. Call Rodney at 423-847-3881 and schedule an appointment at his office or your home to discuss your financial and insurance requirements. That's State Farm agent Rodney Allen, 423-847-3881.
Babies Fertilizer in Cleveland, Tennessee are the experts in summer lawn care. Do you want a green, healthy lawn like a golf course fairway, or are you going to try some products that may or may not work? Babies will specifically formulate a fertilizer for your lawn through a simple soil test. They can also recommend other products designed for this area. So you have a choice. Go with a bag of something that might not work, or call Beatty's at 423-472-5491. 423-472-5491 for something that will work. Check them out at Beatty'sFertilizer.com.
Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, you're ready.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders Outdoors. Having fun on this Saturday morning. This is like the best 2 hours of my week.
Mine too.
Alright. I got to stump the professor.
This will be a holding segment.
Stump the professor.
We'll take questions on Facebook. Questions of the week. Stump the professor. There we go.
What do you do to catch an endangered species? Do you put it in your basket and take it back and say, is this truly in danger?
You bring it to the nearest TWRA agent. Hey, what is this? Oh, by the way.
Let me give you a ticket for a federal fine, thank you.
Try on these bracelets while we're at it here. I'm assuming it has to be immediately caught and released without any...
Can you take pictures?
There was a case that I do know of.
Just take pictures and put it on Facebook. Hey, look what I caught.
Excuse me, sir. Could we talk to you about that photo that you just put on Facebook? Sure. Here, try on these bracelets again.
One of my favorite sayings, never roll out stupidity.
Oh, yeah. I'm assuming it has to be immediately caught and released in the best condition possible. I remember a case, and this was out of Massachusetts. A guy caught a species of fish out of season. Brought it up, took a picture of it, and immediately released it. Because he took a picture of it in that state, in Massachusetts, by taking a picture of it, that constitutes possession. I don't know why, but the law said that constituted possession. When he took a picture, that constituted possession of a fish out of season, and he was ticketed and fined.
That's about stupid.
I agree. But I'm assuming it has to be immediately released, and I'm looking over the list. There's like 30.
So what if you took the picture of it while I was unhooking it? Would that have constituted possession?
I think it's up to the interpretation of the TWRA officer. I would assume possession.
We're talking about Massachusetts. Don't lump us in.
Well, no. What I'm saying is
we're talking about Yankee land.
Okay, up there. I don't know, but here I would assume the nice TWRA officer, as long as you don't pick it up and put it in your creel, and the officer comes by and says, hey, let me see what's in your creel. Oh, do you know that's an endangered species? Oh, no, it didn't. Let me release it real quick. It's a little late at that point.
Dead.
Yeah. So
you release it as it floats off down the river. See, it's released. I didn't.
It moved. He's swimming. He kicked. Did you see it? He moved. It twitched. I'm assuming it has to be immediately released. I thought at one time I panicked. I was fishing the Teleco area, and I was throwing dry flies, and I was actually catching war paint shiners, and I caught a tangerine shiner, and I caught a couple
You're
of...
fishing for these little bitty things?
No, I was trout fishing, and I just happened to get into a... They decided to hit the little fly I was throwing. I was throwing a number 20 parachute Adams and was just letting it go on. I was doing well on trout, but every now and again I'd catch something that wasn't a trout. And I caught some form of darter that I don't know what it was. I couldn't identify it real close because I saw it was a darter. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, it's a snail darter. I'm going to jail. Get it off your hook. And so I immediately, unhooked it very carefully, put my hands down the water, let it, get its bearings, and it just, shot off. And
it darted off.
It darted off. And I'm assuming any endangered species has to be...
Of course they can't hold you, unless you're in Massachusetts, they can't hold you and ticket you for catching a fish.
Because that's bycatch at that point. It's like the people ask me, do I need a trout stamp And I always say, yeah, go ahead and get one because if you want to keep trout. But if you're fishing an area with trout and you're using, let's say, something that will attract trout, which, you know, could be a number of lures, flies, or live bait or whatever sure. the case may be, if you're out there fishing trout waters and you're saying, well, I'm fishing for bass and all you're catching is trout, you know, you may be in a little trouble there. So I just always say, you know, go ahead and get the trout stamp. All the money goes to help out the trout stocking in Tennessee. And even if you're not going to keep any trout, it still helps somebody down the road. So be a good sportsman and do that. But
okay, but do you have to, though?
No, you don't have to, but...
There better be bass in that lake.
Yeah, there better be some Creole survey that says, yes, there are bass. You know, if you're fishing the Teleco and you're up there and say, yeah, I'm up here, you know, brim fishing, not going to fly. And, you know, there are brim on the Hiawassee, and there are brim on a lot of our trout streams, and there are smallmouth in some of the trout streams, but the real fishermen know where the line is. And, you know, you go downstream on the Hiawassee, you're going to get a mix of trout and smallmouth.
Sure.
You stay up top, you're going to get trout. That's all you're going to get because it's a little bit too cold for the smallies. But anyway, I was looking at the list of endangered species. There's like 30 of them that are in most concerned, threatened, or endangered here in Tennessee. And one of them is the lake sturgeon. And the reason I'm saying that is because if I remember the literature on the lake sturgeon, people have caught those here in locally, in Chickamauga in the Tennessee River, and when they've caught them, they immediately released them, and there was nothing, no foul there, because they weren't fishing for sure. the threatened species.
Cool.
So.
Well, there was your educational part of the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not do any more.
Okay.
My head's hurting.
I was on a roll.
I know you are. This is kind of your deal. How's the harvest? How are we doing?
On the harvest, well, we're off a little bit again. We have had this week 94,690 deer taken to this time statewide. This time last year we had 106,766, and a difference of 12,086. Hamilton County this week had 1,239 deer taken. Bledsoe 647. Bradley, 644. Grundy, 599. Marion, 939. McMinn, 1,093. Meigs, 850. Monroe, 587. Polk, 188. Ray, 1,034. Sequatchie, 446. The only county that is not behind from last year is Polk. They have increased their take to 12 over last year this time. Your top five counties are Montgomery, Henry, Giles, Sumner, Stewart, and Hamilton County has fallen to number 23. So our local hunters here need to get that number up.
You know, there was a story out about the take being so far off already. I mean, this is, what were 12,000 down?
Yeah, 12,086.
So there's a lot of discussion as to why it's so far off. I think a lot of it has to do with the weather. I mean, I don't know about you. It's just, it's tough to go hunting when it's 70 degrees.
I agree.
I understand if you're in Florida, you're used to that.
And you're prepared for it. I don't know that I would be prepared having, you know, spent time in the woods with you and having been more or less trained by you. Once you shoot, the work starts. Once you've made the harvest, that's when everything really gets going. And at 70 degrees, let's say 65, 70 degrees, you've got to get that hide off that animal. You've got to get that animal on ice. And this stuff has to be done quickly. You have to get it field dressed, or otherwise that meat's going to spoil very, very quickly. And the issue becomes, I don't know that I'm quick enough without assistance to do that. I mean, probably, but, you know, there may be some loss here or there. So I think that a lot of hunters may be waiting for that cold snap to kick in because, you know, you don't have to rush as quickly as you do when the temperature is in the 60s and even in the low 70s. But I saw the weather forecast for next week. They're talking after Wednesday, a big front coming through. and temperatures may fall into the teens in some places and even into the 20s locally. So, you know, that would be a little bit more conducive to harvesting animals without having to rush as far as that goes. So, I don't know. I'm just one of those people, you know, I don't want to have to rush it because when I shot my first deer, it was warm-ish. It wasn't this warm, but it was warm-ish. And we, you know, I got it skinned out real quick, and then we, you know, put a lot of ice on it.
Right.
Trying to keep it cool, keep the meat from spoiling. So, I don't know.
There you go.
That may be one reason for the low harvest, I think. So.
It could be. Who knows? All right, guys, our friends at Sportsman's Warehouse. Everything's on sale. It's the holiday season. Everything's on sale, period. They have name brand products at better prices, along with knowledgeable, which is very important, staff to help you make the right outdoor decisions. If you don't see the gun that you want, you know what? Go to sportsmanswarehouse.com and you can find more than the 2,000 they have on the shelves. You can find another 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 out there that they'll ship right to the store. Everyday low prices, no shipping charges, no processing fees, just sent right to your local Sportsman's Warehouse. Don't forget to sign up and register for Sportsman's Warehouse loyalty card, as well as like them on Facebook to get all the latest information on what's going on. Sportsman's Warehouse, great indoors for those who love the great outdoors. Highway 153 and Lee Highway.
Tennessee's Hunters for the Hungry program has provided well over 6 million meals over the past 20 years. High-quality protein in the form of venison is welcomed by local food banks. Thanks to gracious hunters and processors, these nutritious meals were provided to our neighbors who really needed a helping hand. If you hunt, please consider sharing some of your harvest this season. Learn about the new deer coin and more at TNWF.org.
Are you ready to host the best barbecue of the year? You will be if you stop by Don's Meat at 6408 Hickson Pike. Don has steaks, kebabs, chicken, burgers, pork chops, all ready for the grill. He also has stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, all ready for your oven. If you want fish, Don's has catfish, flounder, salmon, tuna, tilapia, trout. Give him a call at 842-1256. 842-1256. Check him out on the web at donsmeatshop.com. Be sure to like him on Facebook.
If you're looking to target your product or service to the outdoor community, Tony Sanders Outdoors can help. Nearly one-third of the radios are tuned to Tony Sanders Outdoors on Saturday mornings from 5 to 7 a.m. Whether it's a recorded commercial, live read, remote broadcast, or product endorsements, Tony and Rob can help. Give us a call at 423-280-3677 to discuss your advertising needs. Tony Sanders Outdoors, your outdoor advertising solution. 423-280-3677.
Here come the ducks, hit the high baller. Shut up the dogs, stare at the water. I'll say when, hold on y'all wait. Hit them boys, boom, 12 gauge.
Welcome back. Tony Finner's Outdoors. Rob and I are here playing technical stuff.
Yeah, I'll just leave it at that because we're out of my element. This is like computer engineering. This is way out of my league.
We are working on Skype for next week because I am not going to be here. You're going to have a couple of great guests in here, but I want to Skype in from wherever the heck I'm hiding. And from the deer stand, maybe.
Sounds good.
So we're seeing. Let's go to the phones, talk to Beaver Man, who knows what Beaver Man's got up his sleeve.
Good morning, sir.
Well, considering I'm warm enough to be wearing short sleeves, I'm not wearing much. You know, I tried to call y'all a couple weeks ago from Arkansas, and it was the opening day. You know, the anticipation builds. It's so exciting, and it was 71 degrees.
Right.
And I mean, there were a few ducks. We, I think we shot 17 that first morning, and then a storm came through, and I thought I was going to be literally gone with the wind, sitting in this man's 3/4 ton pickup truck. The wind blew so hard, I thought it was going to tumble the truck down the road like a tumbleweed.
Wow.
And then all the ducks disappeared. So the next day we shot 7 ducks.
Out of how many people?
Anyway, 8 guns.
Okay.
You know, yeah, so the first I shot 3 myself on the first day, which I'm like, I can drive to North Alabama and do that and come go eat at Shorty's and come home and take a nap instead of driving 6.5 hours all the way to Arkansas. But, hey, that, you got to go where the fun is.
That's true. That's true.
But the real season opens up this coming week.
I think
there's a real cold front's finally coming.
Isn't it a little early for the ducks? I mean, I know when the season is, but, I mean, there hasn't really been any cold yet. It's just now starting to get cold up north to push them down here.
That's what we want. That's what we're looking for.
Well, I know. But, I mean, I'm just saying I think it was a little early to be looking for ducks.
Well, I don't know why Arkansas does it that way with their split season,
mm-hmm.
but who knows? That's how they do it. But my old timer friend, who's probably listening now, he says this is the second start of the season is kind of like the real duck season.
Right.
And then you have the guys out there that are just pounding away now till the end of January, except for Arkansas makes you go home on Christmas Eve and Christmas.
You can't hunt ducks on Christmas.
They close duck season on those 2 days.
I did not know that.
Hmm. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, there's probably, some, at the state legislature, some caucus of very angry women came and said, look, we're sick and tired of, having to play Santa Claus and do everything else, and these guys are out there shooting ducks. So.
Well, the thing of it is, Christmas not, because kids get up early on Christmas morning, so that's, but I can see that. But yeah, we did this story, a couple of years ago, I guess, where we talked about all the really weird laws.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of states that can't hunt on Sunday, can't fish on Sunday.
And I know many people that would send their check if they didn't have to come up on Sunday during hunting season.
Oh, yeah.
I've told more than one preacher, look, I can worship real well from a deer stand, sorry. I just can.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and, Rob, I've said before, I've read it and then I've stolen these words and used them as my own. I'd rather be standing in a river thinking of God than sitting in church thinking of fishing.
That's true. That's true. Good point. Yeah, there's
I like that. I'm going to steal that, too.
For several.
It's all yours, Rob.
I think, Beaver Man, they're, and I don't know if they still do it. There used to be a church that met on the water. And I'm not talking about Ozark on Netflix. I'm talking about... right there off of the point where Harbor Lights Marina is. And they would have, the preacher would be up on the shore, and all the boats would come up and kind of anchor right there on the point, and they'd have their service, and then they would go out and enjoy the...
Yeah, my mind's already going.
Cowboys and start water skiing.
Well, my first thing was, A, you've got access to a lot of holy water, and B... Baptisms are fairly easy at that church. Come on down. Oh, too deep. Too deep. The only baptismal font you need a life vest for.
Anyway. One of my hunting buddies there is a dog trainer. He's a retired engineer from GM and lives over in Maury County and trains dogs. A guy named Matt Griffith and has a lot of – he raises labs, and he has the best little lab female. Oh, she's awesome. I'm in love with this dog. Hmm. And the retrieves were just unbelievable, even though she only did a handful of them that day. But, he after the shooting's done and, okay, let's get, let's pick up the ducks, he's, all right, Sadie, go. She'd go out, he'd hit the whistle one time, she'd stop and look at him. He'd go left or right, with his hands, and then beep, beep, and she'd take off in that direction. Then the nose would kick in, and bam, she's bringing it back. It's a great thing to watch, a well-trained dog.
That and watching a dog do what they were bred to do, I always love. I mean, everybody has labs, but those dogs were bred to go get the dead bird in the water. Brittany's were bred to run in the field and, you know, stop and point. To see a dog actually doing what it was bred to do, to me, is one of the best things you can see, because that dog has one function, and that's what that dog is supposed to do. And see, like you said, seeing a well-trained dog is just amazing to watch. When I hunt, a lot of times I enjoy watching the dogs more than I enjoy the hunt, because it's great.
But back at our mouse-infested house that we stay in, then she comes in and gets up on the couch and watches football with you. I mean, that's a great dog.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, some hunting dogs are just, you know, they're hunting. And they're, you know, they're not really pets. But this little dog, she's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
So what's on your agenda today?
Today, I am going to Knoxville to deliver a new car to my daughter.
Oh, aren't you kind? For her Christmas present.
That's very nice.
Well, it's not new, but it's new to her. And it's a very nice, clean car. And safe car, and hopefully she will enjoy it, and it'll give her lots of, at least until she graduates from college and gets a real job, and hopefully she can keep this and use it.
You gonna say hello to your new AD when you're up there?
I would be happy to do so. He is actually a good friend of my friends over in Middle Tennessee, in Winchester, where he's from. Hmm. And I talked with Don yesterday, and he called him and congratulated him. And, yeah, that'll be great. Next thing is just get rid of that Davenport lady. And maybe we can get back on the right track, the Big Orange.
I hope so.
Technically, I'm a Mox fan first and foremost. And then I guess the Vols. And then whoever is playing against Alabama is my favorite team.
I understand. Well, Bear Man.
Today, though, I am going to be I'm a huge Auburn fan today.
War Eagle.
I thought they were the Tigers.
War Eagle, man. Sounds much better.
They're both.
Sounds better. War Eagle.
I'm confused. Okay.
Well, that's easy.
Well, I know. Well, I'm not on sports
talk. Gentlemen, I'm enjoying the show, as always, and hopefully I'll have a better report for you next weekend from Arkansas. And that's about all I know.
All right. Beaver Man, be safe today.
All right, gentlemen.
Enjoy spending time with your daughter.
All right.
See you. All right. Let's go pay a bill. Got a lot of stuff in the next hour that we didn't get to this hour.
Mm-hmm. It has flown by today.
It has. Quicker than normal. Slow the clock down, Gene. We'll be right back.
Old Joe's got a boss to wear. Long and keep his king.
If you're looking to target your product or service to the outdoor community, Tony Sanders Outdoors can help. Nearly one-third of the radios are tuned to Tony Sanders Outdoors on Saturday mornings from 5 to 7 a.m. Whether it's a recorded commercial, live read, remote broadcast, or product endorsements, Tony and Rob can help. Give us a call at 423-280-3677 to discuss your advertising needs. Tony Sanders Outdoors, your outdoor advertising solution. 423-280-3677. If you have listened to my show for a while, you know that I am sold on Sportsman's Warehouse. Over a lifetime of hunting and fishing, I have shopped in many stores all around the country, but have never found a group of team members that have the knowledge like the outfitters at Sportsman's Warehouse. No matter what your plans or needs, Sportsman's Warehouse and their knowledgeable outfitters can equip you for your next adventure. Sportsman's Warehouse, 153 and Lee Highway. Great indoors for those who love the great outdoors. Sportsman's Warehouse. Go see them today, Highway 153 and Lee Highway.
The old man ran the bait shop and you dored the Mississippi. He had his whole story mounted right there on the wall. There were ducks and bucks and smallmouths and a few old faded pictures and the same three cocky rednecks.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders Outdoors. Having fun here this
one day. I said, hey, mister,
beautiful
looks like
fall
you got
morning.
Some
the since we've only got a few minutes here. I'm so excited. I am going to a place I've always wanted to go.
Where's that?
I am going to the Bird Dog Museum in West Tennessee.
I've heard of it, and I know they have the trials out there.
They do.
And there's a lot of equestrian and dogs and isn't it the, like, Nashville?
Yes, yes. It's big time.
Yeah.
And we've got a TWRA commission meeting next week. And one of the field trips, when we go out on the road, wherever we're at, they usually do some kind of field trip. We went to got a behind-the-scenes look at the Hiwassee Refuge when we did the meeting up in Dayton, which was really cool to go and see what all goes on there. I mean, you know what they do at the refuge, but when you get behind-the-scenes look, it's pretty cool. But one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to be at Lone Oak Farm. That's where we're going to be meeting. And one of the trips that morning, Thursday morning, before we have our meeting at 1, is we're going to go out to the Bird Dog Museum. And I'm excited. Being a bird hunter, being a bird dog owner many times over, and looking to be one again, I am excited about going to this.
That's your thing, though. That's, you know, you've always said if somebody made you pick, it would be upland bird.
Yep. I'd never pull a rifle down on a deer again if I only had one thing I could do. And it's I don't know.
So this is like your Graceland.
It is. I mean, it really is. I'm excited. And so I'm looking forward to that and seeing what all the museum has. And there's going to be a lot of dog stuff and things like that.
I bet you there will be. I've always heard about the museum, and I've heard a lot about it. I've never actually been, so maybe you can give me a report on what I should miss and shouldn't miss.
Yeah, I'm really kind of stoked about it. And then since my family is all from that part of the state, I've decided to just stay over Friday night and Saturday and spend some time with family. Haven't been down there a whole lot in the last year or so since my mom's been ill. And so I'm gonna take an extra day and just see everybody. So I'm looking forward to that too.
That sounds like a great trip.
So that's why we've been playing with Skype in here, trying to pull a studio on the sticks like Styles did.
Right.
And so I can be part of the show next week because I'll be awake. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, I'm always awake when it. We didn't broadcast one Christmas because I think the show actually fell on Christmas. I mean, it literally, you know.
And we did consider it.
Yeah, we actually did. We're like, well, what do you think? Well, you know, I'd have to travel back, but anyway. No, even when I'm on vacation, like the rare times I do take vacation and go somewhere, I'm always up on Saturday mornings because it's almost a habit. But
so if we can figure out how to get the Skype thing working, then you can be part of the show from wherever you're at.
Yeah.
So.
Out on Cape Cod.
Yeah, whatever. Wherever. So anyway, I'm excited about the Bird Dog Museum, and I look forward to giving you guys a report on that. I think that's going to be really cool.
I think so.
I don't care if anybody else enjoys it or not. I'm going to enjoy the heck out of it, period.
I think it's great and educational that you get to tour the things while you're there.
Sure. Yep. All right. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Tony Sanders Outdoors. It's
above the mountain. I'm Don King for your Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency. Hunter education is required for anyone born on or after January 1st, 1969, before hunting in our state. Tennessee's program is recognized nationally as one of the best. Choose from online or traditional classroom instruction. Visit tnwildlife.org for classes in your area.
Don't stop that podcast now. That's only one half of the show. We'll be right back with the second half of Tony Sanders Outdoors.
Tighten your life vests, strap into your tree stand, and get ready for the award-winning Tony Sanders Outdoors, your source for outdoor information, education, and entertainment. Now, here are your hosts, Tony Sanders and Rob Krasula.
Back in the wild again. Welcome back. And I feel right at home where I belong. Tony Sanders Outdoors.
I had that feeling coming over me.
This is pretty funny.
I fear change. I don't like change. Change is bad, okay? Let me just go ahead and say that.
Not all change is good.
No.
Not all good comes from change.
I'm electronically deficient. I can't even program. If it wasn't for my wife, the DVD player would still be flashing like 12 o'clock, okay? That's where we are.
So what we were doing during the break was trying to figure out how to make the Skype work.
And I'm running lines and wires through the building, and they've, you know, not trying to be rude, but I do teach the fire code, and wow. Let me just say that, okay? Wow. Oh.
This is pretty funny.
Oh, it is.
But we're making progress. The video camera was working.
I couldn't see anything.
No. Well, it wasn't working well, but it was working.
Okay.
Because Gene could see you. I couldn't see you. We couldn't connect the call. But, hey, we're making progress.
All right.
You know what we're going to do during the 7 o'clock hour, don't you?
We're going to mess with this and try and get it right.
Absolutely. Let's talk to Jason. Hey, Jason, how are you doing?
Good, man. How are you this morning?
We're having fun, actually.
I can tell. It sounds like you're trying to wrap your mind around Skype.
Well, you know, it's I've called in from all around the country hunting and different things, and when Styles did his, you know, had his leg broken and was actually doing a studio from his house, it was like, you know, that sounds really good. So we're trying to figure out how we can duplicate that. So if we go out on the road, we can use it for just, you know, even just regular, like a remote. So we're just having a little bit too much fun.
So let me get this straight. You're trying to live up to Jeff Styles' standards?
No. I'm trying to duplicate his radio time when he was at home.
Okay. I was getting worried. It's like goodbye shotgun, hello skateboard.
No.
Ouch.
No.
Ouch.
After 10 years of doing this, surely people don't think that I'm trying to do that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Well, I'm calling in this morning. I was just listening to Beaver Man talking about dogs, and I got to work in Iowa next week.
Okay.
But after my Iowa work experience is over, we're heading to South Dakota. So I haven't gone a few days, and I've got a buddy out there that's got a little black lab, little female black lab that is absolutely, it's smarter than most people I know, for sure. But I heard Rob say, you know, sometimes the fun in bird hunt is just watching the dog. And that is indeed the truth with this little dog. She is, you know, it's one of the few labs that I know that she will actually break into not a full point, like a setter point, but she will point birds, and she never lies. Unless you cripple one and they run down a badger hole, she never loses a bird.
Right.
And I am telling you, man, and you know this, I mean, it is a thrill to hunt over that dog.
I love labs, especially pointing labs. It's so cool. And talking to, the guys, down at Blowing Springs, it's not that difficult to teach a lab to point. And I'm torn. I'll be honest with you, Jason. I have my whole life had Brittany's. I did not know why we had Brittany's when I was a kid, but my dad always had Brittany's. And what it turned out is my dad actually had polio when he was a child, and so he was somewhat limited in his mobility. And it was my dad. I never really thought anything about it. But we always had Brittany's, and the only thing he ever told me was, well, they hunt really close. That's why I like them. And as I got older, and he kind of explained to me, he said, you know, I don't want to have a dog go on point 200 yards away like some of the big wide-ranging dogs do.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't want to have that happen and then make the dog hold on point while I, you know, try to get there. Because he was just kind of slow. But we've had five Brittany's, and my last one died a few years ago, and I've been really slow in replacing him. And I was thinking about getting another Brittany, and then I was thinking about getting a lab. And so I've been really torn, and I love the pointing labs. I love hunting pheasants over pointers more than I do flushing dogs. When I was in college, I had a Brittany, and my best friend and roommate had a Springer. And it was so interesting to watch the differences in those dogs.
Yeah. Well, see, I grew up in Lauderdale County, Tennessee, and my uncle had German Shorthairs.
Right.
And they're wide-ranging dogs, and they're beautiful dogs, and I still like to hunt with German Shorthairs, but, you know, they're nothing like these labs. The thing about hunting with this lab, I mean, we can pheasant hunt on Friday, and then if we want to go down to the river and shoot ducks Saturday, she's ready for ducks.
Yes.
And it's a, what would you call that, a multi-purpose or a utility dog? I mean, she's just all around good hunting dog.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, Jason, that is why I've really been torn and not pulled the trigger on another Brittany.
Yeah.
I do like the versatility of the lab, and especially if you get one that's a pointing lab. And then on top of that, you can train it to track down shed from deer.
Yeah, that's
exactly what
that's
I was thinking.
That's the next thing. I was going to mention that. I'm glad you brought it up. You can teach these dogs to find sheds for you, man. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. So I'm really torn, and if I had to guess, I will probably go with a lab this time. Number one, my last Brittany was such a great dog. I'm almost scared to try to duplicate her, and so I probably won't. But the other thing is funny. Just 2 days ago, now the last dog I had was an inside, you know, lap dog that died. Matter of fact, I put him down Christmas Eve 2 years ago, and my grandson, who was five at the time, just loved the dog, but he never mentioned the dog when I put him down. Never brought it up until about 3 months ago. He asked my wife where Patches was. That's the first time he mentioned it in almost 2 years. And then last week or 2 weeks ago, he was sitting on the couch. He looked over at me and goes, "Papa T, you need a dog. I need one when I come here." And so
he's getting a dog. I can tell you that right now.
He's getting a dog now. So
that's all it took, right?
Yes, exactly. That's well, he's been in a lot of excuse for my guns here lately too. So you know, I'm gonna use it.
Now, a buddy of mine trained his dachshund.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Okay. All right. A buddy of mine trained his dachshund to hunt sheds. And this little dog would go nuts. I mean, absolutely nuts. And I'm thinking if his wife had a dachshund and he, you know, ended up, you know, doing a lot of the training, he actually would bring the little dog out, open the door, and out bounds this little dachshund. And he would just run around the woods, and he'd find one, and he'd just shake it like, you know, he was trying to kill it. But when he taught it how to find sheds, it was amazing. And to see this little itty bitty dog dragging back this, you know, half an 8 points rack or something was just hilariously funny.
It'd be easier to haul around than a lab for sure, but I'm having a hard time getting the mental picture.
Yeah. Me too.
Well, keep us posted on what you get, Tony. I'd be curious to find out if you go with a lab or the Brittany.
Well, I am truly leaning towards a lab, and that I can work with the pointing side, because, like you just said, as I've gotten older and have less time out in the woods, I really enjoy the birds, and so I could see myself with a lab that I could do the bird hunting and then the duck hunting and everything else as well. So that's probably what I'm leaning towards.
Good deal. Well, real quick, from dogs to daughters, last week I had my daughter with me going hunting, and I didn't want to call in and embarrass her, but best thing in the world for anybody listening is to go hunting with your kids. It is unparalleled to anything that I've ever done.
It is cool.
That's great.
That's a fact.
I'm probably not going to take my grandson hunting this year. The first thing I ever wrote and was published was a story about the first time I took my son hunting when he was like six or seven. I forgot when it was, but it was, and I wrote it from a comical standpoint because it was a pretty funny morning. But, you know, and probably one of the best stories I remember is the first time I let him hunt by himself. I hear him shoot, and I knew it was him because he had a 30-30. And all the rest of us had some pretty big guns, and so I could tell from the sound. And he was probably 25 or 30 acres away from me, I could tell it was him. And so when I get back to the farmhouse, and of course Kyle's not there, and I ask my cousin, and she said, well, Tim and Kyle have gone to get his deer. So I was, now I'm really excited, and he was probably 12 or 13 years old at this point, and he comes back and he's just wide eyed, and he goes, because Kyle and I are both colorblind, and so I told him, when you shoot it, really watch where it goes into the woods, because my cousin, she is just a phenomenal tracker. And I said, we've got to know, you know, leave a place so we know how to where we start tracking. And he came back, he goes, Dad, it never moved. It just fell straight down, and it never moved. I still remember the excitement of that day. It was just the funniest thing.
Oh, man. Well, if you take your kids, there's something funny is going to happen. I mean, that's just part of it. And, you know, it's neat. My daughter, she's 22, and she's come full circle around to loving hunting and fishing. And I'm thrilled, of course.
Oh, absolutely. That's awesome. My daughter never got, she loves to shoot, but she never got into the hunting side of it. I hate that. I wish she had, but she never did.
Well, I'm fixing to climb a tree, and I look forward to hearing you again next weekend.
Well, thank you so much. Have a great, great safe hunt.
See you guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Man, that was the first good caller of this hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
We were talking about dogs. Got a story. Dog shoots hunter instead of hunter shoots dog. A dog stepped on a 12-gauge shotgun and shot a hunter in the back with birdshot in Wright County, Iowa. On Wednesday, 36-year-old William Rancor was shot when his hunting dog stepped on the trigger of a shotgun lying on the ground about 22 yards away, causing the gun to fire. The man was transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, the report continues. The DNR officer wanted to stress that shotguns are extremely dangerous at close range. That pretty much sums up his warning. I've never heard that one, but you said it's fairly common to lay your shotgun down.
I said it was fairly common that somebody gets shot by their dog stepping on a gun. As a matter of fact, I know a guy that was in a hunting party, and the gun was laying against or standing up against the truck. The dog jumped up on it, and his paw went right into the trigger, and it blew the daggum mirror off.
Wow.
It's just, you got to be smart with this stuff. And unfortunately, we got a story when we come back about a young lady that got killed from a senseless accident. So we'll do that when we come back. TonySanders.org.
Chronic wasting disease affects white-tailed deer, mule deer, elk, and moose populations in many states. We are CWD-free in Tennessee and are counting on hunters to keep it that way. Remember, if you hunt out of state for big game animals, it's very important that you learn the proper way to bring those harvested animals home. New restrictions are in place for good reason. Learn more at tnwildlife.org. Please help us keep Tennessee CWD-free.
Babies Fertilizer in Cleveland, Tennessee are the experts in summer lawn care. Do you want a green, healthy lawn like a golf course fairway, or are you going to try some products that may or may not work? Babies will specifically formulate a fertilizer for your lawn through a simple soil test. They can also recommend other products designed for this area. So you have a choice. Go with a bag of something that might not work, or call Babies at 423-472-5491. 423-472-5491 for something that will work. Check them out at babiesfertilizer.com.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders Outdoors. Having a good time this wonderful morning, fall morning. Sad story here. Jason was just talking about taking his daughter hunting, and, man, I hate hearing stories like this when it's sad. Authorities say a teenage girl has been killed during a hunting accident in Alabama. News outlet reports 15-year-old was shot on Monday, about 20 miles southwest of Birmingham. Jefferson County Sheriff deputies believe the girl and an adult family friend had been on a youth hunt. Authorities say the girl climbed down from the tree stand while they prepared to leave. As the friend passed down her rifle, deputies say the gun fired and struck the 15-year-old. Teenager was taken to a hospital where she was pronounced dead. Her identity has not been immediately released. This is Hunter Safety 101. You never, ever, ever, ever put a gun down from a tree stand with it loaded. Because there's only two ways. Well, there's three ways. You can have it horizontal and you have it vertical. And typically I do vertical, so the butt's going down first. Well, that means the gun's pointed at me. Therefore, I make sure it's unloaded.
Right.
You know what? If I miss a deer because my gun's in transition and I'm still not going to be able to shoot the deer anyway, why take the chance? But people, I hate when accidents happen.
Preventable accidents.
Preventable. I mean, there is no reason ever to hand a gun off to somebody loaded in this scenario.
I remember a transfer, and we had had hunter safety. A friend of mine and I were bird hunting, and we had to cross a barbed wire fence. We unloaded the guns. I handed him both shotguns. I went over the fence. He handed me both empty shotguns. He went over the fence, and then we reloaded. Now, yes, that was an extra step. You know, birds could have flushed as soon as I stepped over. Not the point. We were doing it safely because that's what we had just been taught. And I think that if you haven't, like, talk about taking the youth hunting, sit through the class again with your child. You will learn something new every time you take the class. Even if you don't need the class, take the class just to remind you of basic safety.
You know, we're one of the few people that teach hunter safety that still use the fence crossing part of the test. Class, when you know the class is split, and when some are doing the shooting, we have others doing simulated fence crossing, doing exactly what you're talking about: unloading the gun, handing the gun over, crossing the fence, loading the guns back up, and proceeding. And it's silly as it sounds, and as easy as it is to, you know, get under a single strand of rope between two poles, it teaches you what you're supposed to do.
And, you know, like you said, especially you lean the shotgun up against the fence post, your dog gets a little excited, jumps up and down, hits the trigger.
That was another story that I'd heard, was that very thing. Leaning up against the fence, and the dog hit the trigger, and it went off. And luckily nobody was killed. Because you get shot with a shotgun at 3 feet, you're dying.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's so much damage going to be done. So... You folks, you got to take this stuff seriously. I mean, you just do.
This one was preventable. That's what makes it so sad, is it was preventable.
And so was the other one we're getting ready to read.
Yeah.
This is a follow-up on a story that we did several weeks ago about a guy in New York who killed somebody.
An upstate New York hunter who fatally shot at a neighbor, says he mistook her for a deer, has now been charged with manslaughter. Thomas Jadowski also was charged with a grand jury indictment Thursday with hunting after hours in the town of Sherman, New York. He was arraigned by the county court, where he has pled not guilty, and his bail was set at $50,000. Rosemary Bilquist...
What county was that in?
Chautauqua. I knew you were going to do that to me. I skipped it intentionally. I knew you were going to do that to me. I knew it. Rosemary.
You know who else lives there, right?
Chautauqua?
Yeah.
No, that's who?
The Clintons. That's where they live.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going someplace else. I'm sorry.
No, that's where they.
I knew you were going to ask
where their house was.
Rosemary Bilquist was killed while walking her dogs behind her home. Authorities say it happened after sunset, when it's illegal to hunt deer. Hundreds of people attended her funeral last Wednesday. Jawalski did call 911 after firing the shot from his hunting pistol. He has not publicly commented on what has happened.
Well, and there, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. The guy was doing something illegal when he killed somebody. I don't have a problem with the charge at all.
I don't either.
And if I were to do that, I would expect to be charged.
And I'm not sure. I mean, I understand, you know, people get excited. You know, you see movement. You don't shoot at movement. It's target identification. You don't just shoot at sound. You need to identify what you're shooting at prior to pulling that trigger because, you know, like you always say, once that round leaves that barrel, there's no calling it back.
You know, and this is a – I'm surprised he was only charged with manslaughter because one of the things I've always thought was kind of unique, if someone dies in the commission of a felony, that's first-degree murder.
Okay.
So if we robbed a bank, didn't shoot anybody, and we took off and killed somebody with our car during the escape, that would be commission of a felony, and they would charge us with murder of the person that died.
Okay.
And so I'm surprised it was just a manslaughter charge, to be honest with you. I guess hunting after dark is probably a misdemeanor. Most game laws are. So maybe they couldn't make the leap. I have no mercy. I have no mercy.
No.
Number one, he didn't identify his target. Number two, he took a shot after dark. So let's see how many illegal things we can do. And I'm telling you, if you don't pause when you start to do something, then there's something not wired correctly.
The thing that got me on this, it says she was killed while walking her dogs behind her home. If she's fairly close to her home, and there's got to be some law that says you can't, I don't know what the law is in New York, but firing close to a structure would also be another violation.
Well, and that's an often confused law. If I'm on my land, I can shoot off my porch. That's not against the law.
Right.
It's public. It's other people's property. Because there was actually a story on 60 Minutes, believe it or not, several weeks ago, about this town in Connecticut that's struggling right now. I say Connecticut. It might have been New York even, like in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
People were hunting on their land, and this was an area where they all had, you know, pretty big property, like 3 or 4 acre type lots, which is unusual up there. And there was a big uproar about people hunting on their own property. And I think we did the story on here because I'm like, this is why I live in the South.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. It's a preventable thing. If he had holstered the gun and got out of the stand or out of the woods after it was illegal to shoot, then that would have not happened.
How do you get a pistol in New York anyway?
I don't know.
That was my next question. How do you get a pistol in New York? They won't. I mean, maybe it's one of the. Maybe it's a defined hunting pistol, but you know, you can throw. I guess if you buy a .357 and throw a scope on it and say, "Hey, it's a hunting pistol."
Yeah, but still, in New York, I'm not sure how you get handguns.
I don't know. That's a good question. That was my question. How do you get a pistol in New York? As tight as those laws are up there.
Who knows? It's hard to say. All right. Let's go pay a bill, and when we come back, we'll come straight to the phones. Caller calling in, just hold on to the break, and we'll get you when we come back. TonySanders.org.
She's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been itching, she's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early. And honey, you ain't gonna like it. Cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was found.
Are you ready to host the best barbecue of the year? You will be if you stop by Don's Meat at 6408 Hitson Pike. Don has steaks, kebabs, chicken, burgers, pork chops, all ready for the grill. He also has stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, all ready for your oven. If you want fish, Don's has catfish, flounder, salmon, tuna, tilapia, trout. Give him a call at 842-1256, 842-1256. Check him out on the web at donsmeatshop.com. Be sure to like him on Facebook.
If you're looking to target your product or service to the outdoor community, Tony Sanders Outdoors can help. Nearly one-third of the radios are tuned to Tony Sanders Outdoors on Saturday mornings from 5 to 7 a.m. Whether it's a recorded commercial, live reads, remote broadcast, or product endorsements, Tony and Rob can help. Give us a call at 423-280-3677 to discuss your advertising needs. Tony Sanders Outdoors, your outdoor advertising solution. 423-280-3677.
Atlas Bolt and Supply has moved to their new, bigger, better location at 3217 Rossville Boulevard. Atlas Bolt and Supply has always been your headquarters for Bosch, Milwaukee, DeWalt, and all the name brands that get the job done. They've got great deals on Bosch, Milwaukee, and DeWalt power tools, all brands of ladders, job box chests for storage, and all the safety equipment you can handle. As always, Atlas Bolt and Supply has all the name brands that get you ready, so if you're on a job site and need any kind of supplies, pick up the phone and call 265-2341, and they'll have your order ready when you arrive at their new location, 3217 Rossville Boulevard, or they can straight deliver it to you. Atlas Bolt and Supply even has a mobile store on wheels if you're not sure what you'll need to get that job done. Atlas Bolt and Supply, again, brand new location, 3217 Rossville Boulevard, same old phone number. Call them, 265-2341. That's 265-2341. Or find them online anytime at atlasboltco.com. Family owned and operated, locally owned and operated. Atlas Bolt and Supply. Now you're ready.
Special sales are going on now at Sportsman's Warehouse with great savings on everything you need for this hunting season, as well as great holiday gift ideas. Sportsman's Warehouse has name brand products at better prices, along with a knowledgeable staff to help you make a good choice for your outdoor experience. Now, if you don't see the gun you like at the store, you can order one of the guns at sportsmanswarehouse.com and have them shipped directly to the store. They have over 6,700 guns available online. Everyday low prices, no shipping charges, no processing fees. Not sure what to get that special someone in your life for Christmas? Get them a Sportsman's Warehouse gift card. It always fits, and they can get exactly what they want. It is the perfect gift. Don't forget to sign up and register for the Sportsman's Warehouse loyalty card. This will give you points towards gift cards and special discounts, as well as informing you of upcoming special promotions. Be sure to like them on Facebook, too. Sportsman's Warehouse, the perfect place to shop for the outdoor person in your life. Sportsman's Warehouse, the great indoors for those who love the great outdoors. Located at the corner of 153 and Lee Highway.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders Outdoors, coming straight to the phones, as promised to Mike. Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Good, fellas. How y'all?
Good.
Doing well, sir.
Sounds like you're headed to the woods.
Two quick comments and then a question.
All right.
You're talking about that shooting. Brad Geezer was talking about one yesterday on his show, and that pistol shot was about a 200-yarder.
You're kidding.
Now, what kind of idiot would take a 200-yard shot with a pistol of any kind, even a Casull or something like that?
An idiot.
That should at least be negligible homicide if that's worse than manslaughter, or at least murder, because there's so many dumb decisions he made. I'm agreeing with you on the charge. It should definitely be more than manslaughter.
Yes, sir.
Another quick thing. I just had a Bosnian friend who moved here in the early 90s. He just came back from New York, living in New York. He has a handgun permit, and the weird thing about that is it's only good for one particular gun at a time. You can't cachet a bunch of weapons like we can, you know, with a even a pistol, you don't have to have a permit. He's got a permit, but you have to have one to carry a pistol.
You know, I remember the laws here, I believe, before they put in the handgun carry laws that we have. When you went to the sheriff to get certified, you had to qualify with whatever you were going to carry. I think it was limited to whatever you qualified with. And it was a lot harder to get the permit then. It was... You actually had to get the sheriff to sign off on it then.
Yeah. Okay. And quick question. Since he got a handgun permit in New York, do either one of y'all know if he would just be able to grandfather his permit in here, or would he have to go back through the class? He asked me the other day. I'm going to lay some floors for him, and I told him I'd check on it.
Well,
do you think you can just grandfather another state permit in, or would he have to go through the same course now that he lives in Tennessee?
I don't know as far as, you know, turning in that one and getting the Tennessee one, I think you have to actually go through it. And I don't think Tennessee even recognizes New York's, because they if you don't recognize ours, we're not going to recognize yours.
Yeah, and I know they don't recognize ours. And that's
right.
Kind of what I told him, but I told him he better check first before he starts, you know, toting stores or whatever, because I know his permit, I wouldn't think, is recognized here.
Yeah, and here's the other thing about it. As far as Tennessee is concerned, and I'm sure every other state's the same. Most of the course is about the laws of the state, and so the shooting is such, is really, in my opinion, secondary to learning all the nuances of the laws and everything. So I don't think it would quote carry over to Tennessee. Pretty sure it wouldn't.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate y'all's help. Y'all have a good morning.
Thank you. That's a great question.
That is.
I do know we do not recognize New York.
No.
Because they don't recognize us as there.
Yeah. When I took the course, I was surprised at the states that don't recognize ours. Massachusetts, well, okay. That's a given. Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York.
Well, no, look at it. Look at it now. Really? It's, what, about a dozen states?
Right.
All of them on the left coast?
Correct.
Or the right coast?
Correct.
Illinois, which is as bizarre as they come, and what's the one at the top?
Minnesota.
Minnesota doesn't recognize ours. There you go.
Everybody else does. Oh, Hawaii doesn't.
Well, Hawaii doesn't. That's the left coast.
Yeah. Alaska does, though.
Well, Alaska.
Everybody's got.
They don't care.
When you go to Alaska, they give you a gun. If you don't they ask you when you drive across the border, do you have a gun? No. Here, take this one.
Yeah. When you step off the airplane, they hand you one.
Kind of like Texas.
Yeah, exactly. So, interesting. Let's talk to John. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you all?
Wonderful. And yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just still recovering from my shoulder surgery, so I'm not getting to partake in hunting season this year, and that stinks.
Did you fish any, though, while you were in Florida?
No.
Oh,
I did take a helicopter ride. That was pretty cool.
Oh, I bet it was.
Hey, y'all were talking earlier about your memories of hunting with your kids. I've got what I want to share with my son. When he was about 15, we were up on Evansville Mountain, and he took a really nice 8-pointer. It's about 7:40 in the morning. By the time we recovered the animal and got back to the barn and weighed it and everything, it started off the mountain. It was about 11:30.
Uh-huh.
And as we were coming off the mountain, he said, "Dad, can we stop by Blaine's house and show it to him?" I said, "Sure." Well, to make a long story short, it was well after dark by the time we got home, because every time we would go to somebody's house, he would want to go someplace else and show it to another buddy of his. You know, in that time of year, because it was opening day of gun season, you know, it gets dark early.
Right.
And, man, it was, I don't know exactly what time it was when we got home, but it was well after dark. And it was, when y'all were talking about that earlier, I just kind of started smiling, thinking, yeah, I remember that day with Brandon and how long it took us to get home.
That's funny.
Well,
that
was social media back then. I mean, you know, you had to show it off.
Nowadays, you put it on Facebook and everybody sees it, except for you, but. You could get your wife to stick it up on there for you, but
What was funny was I heard him shoot like you heard Kyle shoot.
Yeah.
And about 2 minutes later, my phone rang, and Brandon was 15 at the time, and I was expecting to hear a 15-year-old kid talking. No, "Dad, come get me." It was a man voice. So what'd you get? He goes, "I shot an 8-pointer." And I said, "Did you make sure you watched where it ran off to?" And he went, "Didn't have to. I dropped in his tracks." It is so funny, man. I'll never forget that day as long as I live.
That is. That's what a great story.
It was great.
That's what it's all about right there.
It is. You're exactly right. It's all those memories, and he's got that 8-pointer hanging in his den. And when his three curtain climbers get a little bit older, maybe we'll get them out in the woods.
Well, I know. Grandpa has got them guns, so they're ready to go, aren't they?
Grandpa has got them guns, and we actually went out last March, or last February, I should say, over to Harrison Bay State Park, and at that time they were 6 and 5, and we were going to go shed hunting, and they couldn't pronounce antlers. They just couldn't get that concept. So they asked me the other day, "Are we going deer horning again this year?" "Yes, sir. We're going deer horning."
I like that.
That's too good.
Deer horning.
They had, it's great. It's great watching them all wrapped up and trot around in the woods behind me. And, you know, they learned last year that, no, Papaw doesn't care you. If we're going to do this, everybody walks. You know, so.
That's funny. That's good, getting them out in the woods. And, you know, think about maybe not everybody's grandkids, but sitting here thinking about your grandsons and mine, and you know, they've got lifetime hunting license, they've got guns, and they have no idea they have any of it.
I know. What a surprise it's going to be. Yeah, I had to buy two more lifetime sportsman's licenses here in the last month. I've got G5 and G6 got here since Labor Day. So
right. That's awesome.
I've got a lot of money in those babies.
and TWRA thanks you.
Yeah, exactly.
And they will thank you, too, in about 12 years when they realize that they don't have to ever buy a license as long as they live in Tennessee.
Yeah, that is a great thing that the state does. It's really cool. But I wanted to share my story because y'all were talking about that and just brought a smile to my face remembering that whole day and how long it took us to get home.
Well, that's what it's all about,
just
John.
Just from Evansville Mountain. It's not very far from here.
Exactly. That's funny.
Yeah. All right, guys. Enjoyed the show this morning.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Bye. Bye.
All right. That's a pretty funny story. I can see that happening, though, because, I don't even know how old Brandon is. Probably late 20s, early 30s.
Mm.
So you're right. That was social media.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Let's go by here.
Well, yeah. I mean, it all depends on what you grew up with. I mean, kids nowadays are going to be, you know, posting their outdoor adventures online. So.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go pay our final bills of the morning. Man, it's been a great show.
Thank you
so much for being part of it today. Tony Sanders Outdoors will be right back. If you have listened to my show for a while, you know that I am sold on Sportsman's Warehouse. Over a lifetime of hunting and fishing, I have shopped in many stores all around the country, but have never found a group of team members that have the knowledge like the outfitters at Sportsman's Warehouse. No matter what your plans or needs, Sportsman's Warehouse and their knowledgeable outfitters can equip you for your next adventure. Sportsman's Warehouse, 153 and Lee Highway. Great indoors for those who love the great outdoors. Sportsman's Warehouse. Go see them today, Highway 153 and Lee Highway. If you're looking to target your product or service to the outdoor community, Tony Sanders Outdoors can help. Nearly one-third of the radios are tuned to Tony Sanders Outdoors on Saturday mornings from 5 to 7 a.m. Whether it's a recorded commercial, live read, remote broadcast, or product endorsement, Tony and Rod can help. Give us a call at 423-280-3677 to discuss your advertising needs. Tony Sanders Outdoors, your outdoor advertising solution. 423-280-3677.
Your hands start shaking.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders Outdoors. Rob's over here searching the computer for fly fishing records now. We've had a new tilapia record set again in Tennessee, which was just set about a month or so ago.
Right.
Now, we've broken that with 6 pounds, 6 ounces tilapia caught up at the Gallatin steam plant. So we're trying to, now he's like, I wonder what the record is. So
I may have to go up there and see if I can set a, I don't know what the state record is. Well, the state record is 6.6. I know that now, but I don't know.
Are they deep? Are they shallow?
Can you get it deep enough? I can get it deep enough. Whether I can cast is another story. I can get it deep enough. I'll use lead core line and add some split shot to it. Now, it may cast like a coaxial cable, but I'll get it down. Or I might actually go to the dark side and use a spinning rod.
There you go. But you won't be able to set a fly record doing that.
No.
New state record tilapia.
That thing is a toad. That is just a fat.
It's a shame. I didn't realize that they were freshwater fish. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. I thought they were saltwater. Or brackish, even.
Well, they can go brackish.
I know they can go brackish, but I was surprised. I just didn't realize.
Hmm?
I figured, you know, most of all you eat's raised on a farm anyway, but.
True.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be fun to go catch.
Yeah. Speaking of catch, I caught the Trout Unlimited holiday party this week, which
was
awesome. About 53, 55 people there. I actually won a door prize, so that's first time ever. Let me see, what else? Great attendance at the party.
Someday they'll invite their wildlife commissioner to that.
I'm sure they will. I bid on a couple of things. I bid on a guide trip.
You bid on a guide trip?
Yeah, I want to be taken out. I want somebody else to take me out. I want to be the the person having fun.
Okay.
So I bid on that. I didn't get it. It was a half-day trip on the Hiawassee, but didn't get that one. Got outbid on that one. Also got outbid on a really nice framed salmon fly that was donated. Project Healing Waters was there as well, and I talked to them about coming in and talking about all the great things they do for veterans here locally, and the chapter has been recognized nationally for its service in our area. So I'm going to try and get a few of the Project Healing Waters guys in sometime early next year. So,
hey, speaking of that, we were going to do our holiday gift guide, right?
Right.
Selfishly, this is what we want, so we can record that and provide it to our wives from the show.
Exactly.
But it didn't work out. But let me suggest something. And this will be on my list when we actually do it. We're going to do it on the 16th. Book a trip with a fishing guide, and I highly recommend Scenic City Fishing. Richard Sims has done a great job. Yesterday was his birthday. Make him happy. You know, book a trip.
Yep.
But, you know, whether you book and go out with Richard or with Sam or whoever you go out with, they do a great job, and it's a great way. Matter of fact, I had somebody the other day ask me, and I referred them to Richard. His son wants to fish, and I said, you know, take him out with somebody that knows what they're doing. And I said, it's a good way to spend a half a day with somebody and learn something and be really, you know, so.
That's one of the first things I did when I moved here. I went out with Richard because I did not know the area, and I had the quickest way to learn is to go out with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Absolutely. So that's a freebie thrown in. It was going to be on my list, and I just didn't do it anyway. So.
You previewed the list.
I previewed the list.
The first thing on your list is a fishing trip.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know, we didn't talk about sandhill cranes. I'm excited. I'm going hunting, real live hunting on the 22nd with guided hunt.
There you go.
Guided hunt on the 22nd, decoying sandhill cranes. I'm so excited. There's only about 2,500 of them in here so far. The big herd hadn't got here.
I bet you it's cold snapple something.
When we are fully stocked with sandhills, we're at roughly 30,000. So we've got about 2,500 right now. So been a great show. Thank you so much for being part of the show. Look forward to seeing you next week on Tony Sanders Outdoors. You have been listening to a podcast of the award-winning Tony Sanders Outdoor Show. Please subscribe to our service to get updated shows weekly throughout the year. Like us on all the social medias to keep up with what's going on Tony Sanders Outdoors.